Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Today we will finish our discussion about how Abram saw the stars in God's sky and how we see the stars. By providing a solution to a problem those who reject a biblical view of creation seem to have. It is called the light travel time problem. Yesterday I introduced you to the problem and today the solution. For the benefit of those who were not with us last time, and frankly as a needed reminder for us all, let me restate the matter at hand. If, as I say, or as we say, if you agree with me, the Bible correctly reveals the creation of stars at a time of approximately 6,000 years ago, then how can we see stars that are millions of light years away? Even more specifically, how could the first man, Adam, or Abraham in Genesis 15, have seen the stars with their naked eyes? A light year is the distance light travels in a year. This is about 6 trillion miles, or 9.5 trillion kilometers. So how is it that we, who believe in a 6,000-year-old Earth, can see stars that are much farther away than 6,000 light years? Again today, we will follow the competent work done in an article written by Danny Faulkner. Dr. Faulkner holds a PhD in astronomy and taught at the University of South Carolina for over 26 years. In his article, Seeing Stars in a Young Universe, he writes, quote, "We have to look at the light travel time problem from Adam's perspective. The stars we see today with the naked eye are not a problem because 6,000 years have passed and all the visible stars in the Milky Way are within 6,000 light years of Earth. But this would not have been the case for Adam, and I will add, for Abraham. God created Adam 2 days after God made the stars. That means starlight had only 2 days to reach the Earth. How did Adam see stars the first evening of his life? He must have seen them because otherwise stars could not have fulfilled their function to help humans mark time, as Genesis 1 verses 14 through 18 says. So, Adam had a light travel time problem. Perhaps we should attempt to solve Adam's problem, not ours." Now that's the end of the quotation, and so back to me. I hope that you're following what the problem really is. In Genesis chapter 1, how could Adam have seen stars with his naked eye? Or in our text of Genesis chapter 15, although about 2,000 years after Adam, still, how could Abraham have seen stars with his naked eye when God commanded him to look to the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them? There are several possibilities for solving this problem. I will focus on what I believe is the best solution. And to get at this, let's do some work in the Bible. Back in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, if you have your Bible with you, you may want to open it to those chapters. To begin with, I'm reading Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Perhaps you remember this verse from when we, here on God Is, went through it together. What we learn is that God formed man from the dust of the ground. This is the biblical view of how man was created, how man came into being. And now drop down with me in this same chapter, Genesis 2 to verse 19. I'm reading Genesis 2, verse 19. "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. So now we learn how God created land animals and flying animals, birds. And please notice that God formed them also from out of the ground. The dust of the ground is used to make man, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky. And now let's flip back one page in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and I will read verses 11 through 13. Genesis chapter 1, reading verses 11 through 13. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a third day. What I hope you captured there is that God made the plants to grow rapidly, speedily out of the ground on the third day of the six-day creation. So we have the man, we have the land animals and birds, and we have the plants maturing in a way they have not since. Adam was formed as an adult male. The beasts of the field were adult animals, and the birds of the air, notice that they did not have time in the nest of their bird parents. They had no parents. They did not develop slowly, learning how to use their wings, how to fly. No, these first animals were created fully mature. And finally, we have the vegetation, plants, and fruit trees bearing ready-to-eat food. I hope you heard clearly Genesis 1 verse 12, trees bearing fruit with seed in them. These were ripe for the picking for Adam and Eve. Now let me go back to Dr. Faulkner's article as he applies these Bible verses to solving the light travel time problem. We move now from the earth to the heavens, from the ground to the stars. I'm quoting now. "God rapidly and miraculously matured many things during creation week. It seems both logical and theologically consistent that in a similar manner, God could have rapidly matured the universe, bringing the light from distant objects to the earth in a way similar to trees instantly sprouting and rising to full height. In addition to creating the physical universe during the creation week, God also created the laws that govern it. What if these laws were not in full effect until the end of that week, as we see when God created mature plants, land animals, and the first two humans? Instead of bringing starlight to earth according to physical laws, God could have miraculously solved the light travel time problem on day four, before putting the laws that govern light travel into effect." End of quote. I like that very much, and I think this is the best, most plausible solution to the problem that evolutionists present to the biblical creationists. Well, someone might say, you're trying to get off the hook by claiming that God did some sort of a miracle as he was creating the earth in relation to the stars in the heavens. That goes against science. So that does not solve your problem. To which I reply, yes. God's whole creation is a miracle. Danny Faulkner put it this way at the end of his article, quote, "After all, nearly everything about creation was miraculous." Well, that is an important statement. Biblical creationists who accept exactly what the Bible says to be true, to be fact, we have no problem admitting that what the Lord God did was miraculous. At the same time, God definitely, absolutely set in place laws and rules to govern his universe once it was made. but the presence of certain laws and rules does not negate the presence of mystery in God. He created as he willed, and we must humbly leave room for mystery in that which we cannot fully explain or understand. I know that irritates the unbeliever, but we can only share with them the gospel. Tell them what Genesis says, and pray wholeheartedly that God will open their eyes to see Jesus and to believe in him. Let me remind you that I have taken to the stars and the light travel time problem and solution because we read this in Genesis 15, verse 5. The Lord took Abram outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And God said to Abram, "So shall your descendants be." I think this was a good use of our time to explore stars and Abram's view of them and to answer some critics along the way. But for those of you thinking, well, okay, but let's get back to that verse-by-verse Bible teaching swallow. We miss the theology and prefer it over astronomy. Well, for those of you with this thought, be careful what you wish for. Because starting tomorrow, we are moving on to verse 6 of Genesis 15, and that one verse will prove to be packed with theology, Bible, doctrine, and teaching. It is one of the greatest, most significant verses in all of Scripture, and I will prove that to you. God is great, and how he made the universe and everything and everyone in it is awe-inspiring. Let us worship this God of glory. Let us praise and exalt the one who made the heavens. And let us come together again tomorrow because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.